FN LP Pasquo, 107.1 or 103.7 on your radio dial. We're going to start off with a little bit of Honky Tonkitis with one of their really, really good tunes. Kind of fits the day today. Actually, this one is called Heavy Lifting Calls for Heavy Drinking, because I'm really, really not really hungover. I just really under the weather and don't feel good right now. Just a little tired. So just put in the request call to the hangover recovery specialist in Nashville, which apparently I've never done it before, but Nate and I were talking about it before the show. They will come to your location and give you an IV to help you recover from a hangover. So I put in my request. So in the middle of the show, if y'all hear me, you have to get up and leave really quick because they're calling and we need to schedule them to come out. I'm hoping I can get them to come out and give me an IV while we're on the air and everything, which would be really great for me. And I think it would be really good for anybody who has any questions about how all this works. Second of all, we have Jeremy Barlow coming in today. He should be here probably about 30 minutes or so. Jeremy's a phenomenal chef from here in Nashville and kind of one of the pioneers of the farm and table movement, not just in Nashville, but period. And has done a lot of really good stuff, including written, I think he's written a book or two about it. So we'll start with a little Honky Tonkitis, and we'll be right back.
Heavy lifting calls for heavy drinking.
I got the track stopped before we went to the next one because I'm awful about that. Welcome back to the Pork and Pale Ale Radio Show. This is Neil.
This is Nate.
We're just recovering from a long weekend, man. So you went out to the old Franklin Brew Fest. What do they call that now? Is it a St. Pat's thing or is it just Franklin Brew
Fest? I think it's just Franklin Brew Fest.
Yeah, downtown Franklin. Do they still scatter all the different beer and all the different shops and stuff around?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I think Oscar Blues was in that. I forget the name of the place. It's the like the outdoor wear store.
I got nothing.
They have like a bunch of North Face jackets and Yeti coolers. It's like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it Binks Outdoors?
Yep. Bang. Look at you.
I know. They got one in Murfreesboro. I noticed they had like two or three other.
It's a really nice store, though. I've never even been in them, but I don't think I can afford much out of there.
You don't need a $800 cooler to keep your beer cold?
Mm-mm.
I can't think of what I would put in a Yeti cooler.
I really, I kind of want one for like samples. I can put ice on it Monday and still it'd still be cold the following Monday.
Because it's just so exhausting having to get more ice. And I just, you know, and to go out. They're like, no, keep things cold for 24 hours.
I'm going to get a bell, too, when you judge me.
Yeah.
So when you say exactly when you judge me.
Exactly. Ding. See? I'm exactly judging you. Nah, it's all the outdoors. We actually have one of those Yetis at the brewery that we just, it just sits around. Because we can't.
Didn't you make a jockey box out of one?
No, I didn't make one out of a Yeti. It's another off-brand. The Ira Rodecaster people that do all the rollaways and the big bins you see at convenience stores and stuff, they have those. And
it's got like five taps in that jockey box.
Yeah.
That thing is heavy.
It is really heavy. I didn't think about that because at the end of a beer festival, it sucks loading everything up. Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
But it's handy. I mean, you have to, instead of moving five jockey boxes or four or three or whatever.
Yeah. Anybody that's not familiar with a jockey box, we lost our one listener in Canada. Sorry, we had someone in Nelson, British Columbia that was just listening online at radiofreenashville.org.
Jockey box is basically a mobile tap unit. Looks like a cooler and it has taps to stick out of it, and it's got coils on the inside that kind of chill the beer.
All right, just got a text from the Hangover Recovery people. This is Haniel, this is Amanda from Recovery Room. I got your request. Do you need service today or tomorrow? My response today, please.
It's just an ASAP.
I don't know why they had. I think I need to make a request for the Hangover Recovery website. It's because they have little bitty. They have fields where you got to punch in your request to send in an email, which is really hard if you have jittery hangover hands.
I know. I got one of the new orange Red Bulls and I handed it to me, and I thought it was going to all splash out with his hands shaking back and forth.
I know, man. It's just like, you need this. Do you need a drink? Here you go. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully they can make it out here. This would be great. I probably need to pay a little extra dollars for mileage, but
I know you don't. We're getting free advertisement.
Yeah, we're getting free advertisement. Like I said, they're not any sponsors of the show yet. We'll get them in here and see if they want to underwrite some advertising. I'm sure the recovery addiction recovery show that's on would probably wouldn't enjoy reading those cards out for underwriting. Do you have any beers you hadn't had before yesterday?
No, I really didn't. I didn't have. I've tried the Oscar Blues Pinner, which I've had before, but I had a couple of them there.
Yeah,
so they were really good, and it's a great. They call it a throwback IPA.
What's a throwback IPA?
Session IPA.
Oh, that I like the way you call it throwback because you can throw back a bunch of them. I wonder if that's their intent or
I don't know. They call it Pinner. Like I said, it says sip, give on the. On the top of the can, and it says, "Can I be blunt?"
Yes. Around the rim of the can. Okay. Just gonna call back. Gonna call the Hangover Recovery folks. Let me see if right now, and then we'll play a song, and we'll nail these details down. Hopefully. Let's see. Did you see where the whole Bells thing with trademark registration and stuff that was going on this week?
Mm-mm.
So Bell's has asked a Bell's Brewery out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, has asked a brewery from North Carolina, a little tiny brewery called Innovation Brewery, that Innovation has submitted a request, a federal trademark request for their name, Innovation and Beer and Brewery, so no one else can use Innovation Brewery or beer. Bell's has had a bumper sticker for the last 25 years that just says Brewing Innovation since 1985. Blah, blah, blah. And if Bell's just asked them to withdraw the request for, ask them to withdraw the request for their trademark, because if their trademark goes through, then they could legally turn right back around and sue Bell's for
using bumper stickers that she's had for 25 years.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody online, their knee-jerk reaction is boycott Bell's and this and that for picking on the small brewery. And it blows my mind because I wonder what these people really think, that like Bell's with over 300 employees has been in business with a great reputation of beer and great business people over 25 years. We're just flipping through the map and just picked a small brewery to pick on, you know, or bully them around. It's like, no, man, they could get sued for bumper stickers they've been using for 25 years. And everybody's just been losing their mind over it.
It's ridiculous. Because I was thinking about this last night. I seen, you know, there's rickshaw things downtown.
Yeah.
Like people with the bikes or whatever. And it says advertise here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to open up, you know, like I start a website or something or just call advertise here. And I'll just go around a bunch of .com stickers at the end and just plug them right on the advertising.
That's so funny.
So it's like me trademarking advertise here. And then I sue the guy on the rickshaw.
Yeah.
Like with advertise has the.
You can't advertise that. You know, there's people that actually have patents for stuff that's that arbitrary.
Yeah,
that's what Corolla got sued over. Was the one? It was like sequential numbering of radio shows online.
Well, that and it was like something to do with the software that they used to upload on iTunes.
It's
like if they would have lost that lawsuit, they could technically come back and sue us.
Yeah,
just for the technology used. It's patent trolls is what they call them.
No kidding. All right, we're gonna take a real quick break. Play a little bit more honky tonk. I just a couple tunes. I'm gonna call the Hangover
recovery mobile unit.
Yes, she has asked me. Is like, I'm doing this while you do a radio show. LOLs. I think we may be able to make this work.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do we get like a 2-for-1? I can feel better.
Yeah, if you want, dude. We can have two. That would be the weirdest thing when Jeremy Barlow walks in and we're both sitting here with IVs hanging out of our arms. Or just, what's going on here,
or nothing? She leaves and like we're like wiping the blood off her forearm. Yeah. We're like, yep, that's how we roll.
No kidding. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're fucking stupid.
I said stop playing long darts on my heart. That ain't where those things are meant to go. Move your games to someone else's yard. And stop playing lawn darts on my heart. You can dive like it was just a plaything. Your barbs are like a weapon in your hand. You play this game like it will not cause pain. You're the reason laws are made to have the damn thing span. I said stop playing lawn darts on my heart. That ain't where those things are meant to go. Move your games to someone else's yard. And stop playing lawn darts on my heart. Now that I'm crying, you know you've gone too far. So stop playing lawn darts on my heart. Just tickle. Some men say that they don't hurt at all. Some men say they have no heart to feel them. I'm telling you they hurt no matter where they fall. I said stop playing lawn darts on my heart. That ain't where those things are meant to go. Move your games to someone else's yard. And stop playing lawn darts on my heart. Some may call them yard darts, and some just call them jarts. But stop playing lawn darts on my heart. I am the ghost. Red. to a life of wine. The hair on my chest becomes the hair of the dog. What started out as fun for all turned into a loaded fun. And that all to many, to some, to few, to one. 'Cause I am the ghost.
Back. Hey Nate, your mic's on.
Thank you.
All right, just thought I'd let you know. I know we don't have an on-air light here, but yeah. On this side there's one, but that's on cool. Your side there's not.
Sorry. I need to get me a mirror.
So just to update everybody, I just got the phone with Amanda, nice lady, with Recovery Room. You can search on Nashville Recovery Room if you want. Like I said, they are not paying for any of this. I've just always thought about it, and I've always had friends that were paramedics or nurses or whatever that always talked about how they did IV bags to replenish fluid to make them feel better in a short period of time. So there's actually a company here in Nashville called Recovery Room Nashville. So I called Amanda. She asked if I had any allergies or if I was allergic to anything, and asked if I was allergic to anything, what my symptoms were. I just said, I don't have a headache. I'm just really achy and tired. So so I'm getting the $159 treatment. So Amanda's on her way to the station right now. So this should be interesting. Like I said, I hope it doesn't freak out Jeremy Barlow when he arrives. So if, you know, I'm like, hey, yeah, by the way, sit down. Let's start talking. Oh, and there's someone on their way here to give me an IV because I'm hungover.
Did they say what time they'd be out here?
She said she'd be here in within 30 minutes. So
I just hope you don't get tangled up with all the wires and tubes.
Yeah, that is the truth. No one's mastered the tubeless IV yet. No one's done that. They've got wireless headphones, which I could probably invest in, but with all the wires and tubes going to be hanging out of me.
That would be amazing.
I think it's just going to be one tube. That would be cool if you could combine the headphone cable and a tube.
I wonder if Jeremy's going to think I took you out of the hospital to make the show. Yeah. Like, we do by hook or crook, brother. We're gonna have to do this show.
I'm just laying flat on the ground with an IV with a mic, just the mic all the way down.
I wish there was room to put like a bed in here.
No, has anybody like ever done their radio show from bunk beds? You are listening to the Pork and Pillow Radio Show on WRFN.
That would be pretty cool if I had like a loungy chair.
I know. I would like one of those camping chairs that you can lean back in. You know, yeah. You push your feet out. It's really, really nice. One of those or hammocks. Has anyone ever done a radio show from a hammock?
That's dangerous.
Why do you have to have these are office chairs we have in the station right now. Why is it office chairs? I guess because it's an office setting.
I guess so. You're like sitting at a desk.
Yeah. What about a hippity hop? Can you do it for one of those or just
big stupid beanbag chair?
He's giving me the heads up for the hippity hop. I'm gonna do that. That's my gag. To see if anybody ever really from the rest of anybody else on this station listens to my show. Each week I'm just gonna come in and remove all the chairs and replace them with different objects to sit on. Like next week's big is those yoga balls, you know, yeah. Everybody. What do they call those?
I think that's what it is.
Oh, really?
I think that's what it's called as a yoga ball. Yeah, I could be wrong.
We'll do yoga balls. We'll do that one.
Can we set it like an on-air like record for the most, like the longest show on a yoga ball?
Has anyone done that?
I don't know.
Longest setting on a yoga ball without.
We need to research the dumbest. By Guinness Book of World Records.
There's got to be like a whole Guinness Book of World Records of like dumb human tricks people have done on their hair.
We have a yoga ball at the house, by the way.
Oh, really?
Just gonna like won it at like some seminar or something that she went to or conference.
Is it autographed by anybody?
Not yet.
That's what I would do too.
Not yet, slugger. That's what I'm gonna start doing when I go to sporting events too. I'm just gonna bring a big yoga ball. I was like, man, will you sign this for me? You know how many autographs I can fit on a yoga ball?
That's awesome. Can you imagine the display case like maybe with footballs?
It'd be $2,000 for that Lucite case to put that yoga ball in.
That's what I want to do. I want to get Angie one. She's big. You're a big Penguins fan, right, Angie? Yeah. Right? Did I get the Penguins right? Is it Penguins or the other? All right. Preds. Oh, Flyers. All right, Preds and Flyers. We're going to get Angie an autographed yoga ball from all of her favorite teams. I think I can pull this off with the Predators. Because these guys have buddies that work there. When I tell them what I want to do, they're like, all right. Because everybody brings pucks in and sticks and stuff. Why can't you bring in a yoga ball? Like, listen, man, my friend's really into yoga. Big, huge fan of you guys. Could you sign this?
My older brother won a contest in Florida to go to like some NFL like training camp for kids. Mm-hmm. It was like through Publix back in the day. And we took a football and had a bunch of people sign it, but it was like with a crappy pen, like a ballpoint pen.
Oh.
Like you can barely see any signatures on it. I think it's before the Sharpie.
Yeah.
Like there was markers, I'm sure, but like.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's so funny. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you gave somebody one of those big yoga balls to sign, would their autographs be bigger than what they normally sign on, like a stick or a glove or a ball or a puck?
Or I should just judge them every time. Like, come on, brother, take up some space.
Yeah, I've got this whole thing to fill up, and you're my favorite player. That or what's the limit of people you can get that actually to get them to sign off on to sign a puck? What's the max amount of people you can get to sign a puck?
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
Full names, too. No initials.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, sweet. We're going to take a real quick break. The honky tonk itis as I turn Nate's mic off, and we'll be right back with Jeremy Barlow, I think, if I can get this to play again. Ha ha.
I got hammered. I got hammered. I got hammered by your love. Since you first touched my lips, under your spell I slipped. I'm helpless as a baby. Like a slave, the next drink that I have, I might be saved. Years go by and I am still brought
Awesome. Welcome back to the Pork and Pale Ale Radio Show. Oh, God. One of these days I'm going to be able to not be able to stop for the next song starts up. Welcome in the studio, Jeremy Barlow, man. Appreciate you finally coming in, man. I know it's been my fault because we've been all over the place. So to get you out here, and I'll be honest, the radio station isn't the most convenient of areas. So I appreciate you making the drive.
It was worth the drive on the most perfect day we've had.
Yeah. Where'd you come from?
Just from town.
No, an exact address. We want everybody to know exactly where you
are. I live...
I'm going to take an Uber there right now.
The small spot, 12 South, basically. I live around the corner.
Good deal, man. We were talking about you running into John Besh in the elevator. It's usually when somebody says they ran into... Nate's elevator story was he ran into Cato Kalin, and you're like, oh, yeah, and I've got this guy that does like a restaurant empire and is well-known chef, and Nate's like, yeah, I ran into somebody big in the elevator, too. It's Cato Kalin.
I think he wins on that one.
Yeah. It was just funny. I had no idea who he was until he was getting out of it. When I was getting out of, like, the doors were shutting.
Yeah. Great, man. How's the store going, man? You've got two Sloco Sammies now,
two
right?
Two Slocos, yeah. We got one on 12 South, the original, 3.5 years. We got one in the Farmer's Market. It's been open since July. And may or may not have a third one downtown this summer.
Really? The Hard Rock finally moving out?
Hard Rock, yeah. They actually want us to come in and see if we can get their food to be like our food.
No kidding. Oh, I do have to give you a heads up if you weren't listening on the way in. There is a nurse on their way here now to give me an IV for hangover recovery. So should be here in probably about 15, 20 minutes.
You get
a
tryout?
Yeah. It's a nice lady named Amanda that's driving here. It's Nashville Hangover Recovery.
I'm actually well aware of Nashville
Hangover
Recovery, yes.
Have you ever used them?
I have never had to use them because I have children, so yeah. Hangovers automatically decrease once you have
This is my first one in 9 months, to be honest. I'm not really drastically hungover. I've been a lot worse hungover, but I'm just really, really tired and everything, and it's my first one in like 9 months. I had my daughter 3 months ago, and that's the same way. Like this morning, you know, she doesn't care.
Nope.
She don't care at all.
Nope.
You're really? Did you decide to get that extra shot of Jameson? Don't care. Guess who's hungry right now?
What time you rolling, Dad? Yeah. I'm getting up anyways. Molly was up all night because you were out. And
oh, yeah.
Nothing you did last night affects what I did in my diaper.
Absolutely. Yeah. Flashing back now.
Yeah, our mom's awesome because she did a great job and then left the key in the door. And I'm like, gosh, she could tell by my text. I was going to need all the help I could get.
They know instantly.
But yeah, man. You have a book out too, right?
Yeah, a book called Chefs Can Save the World came out about a year and a half ago. And it really just kind of, I got asked a lot once we switched to the green philosophy and using real food, and I used to get asked for coffee so much, I figured I could take all that time and just put it into words. And when people want me to go get coffee, I just go buy the book.
Oh, really?
Same thing. Yeah. So it's just kind of an outline on the importance of real food and what that can do for us moving forward as a society.
How was that as far as like starting the whole book writing process? I mean, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to do this. Do you just start seeing how much information you had to compile and you're like, all right, I got enough here to do a book?
Right. You know, I had the same question when I started on the process and honestly just got real lucky and had a good friend who used to come hang out at Taste quite a bit.
Yeah.
And she was an editor. And I was like, so what kind of got this idea? What do I do? And she's like, you do this. And when you do that, and if you get there, then come see me and we'll go to the next step. And she kind of held my hand through the whole process.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, actually.
Did she help with some of the editing and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. She made it actually look like a book instead of a kid's book.
Yeah. You can't have a whole chapter that's one long run on sentence.
Yeah.
I get that it's a recipe, but still.
It's a bunch of construction paper with crayon writing on it.
Pretty much. And you can't write like you're in the kitchen where it's, you know, bleep plus bleep.
Yeah.
It's all shorthand.
What are
you, a waiter?
Words in that run on sentence.
Yeah.
But it was two chapters.
Court, you had Taste. How long was Taste open?
God, almost 10 years.
Wow.
We were open about a decade.
Dude, I mean, when did you start that? When you were like in your early 20s?
I was 12.
Really?
Yeah. No, we opened, I was 30 the day we opened, the year we opened.
Which
was
wow.
The goal as a restaurant by 30. And
really?
We got there.
So what was the build up to that? I mean, because that's something that I use you as an example a lot. You, Margo, Randy Rayburn, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 people in Nashville that everybody else should call on a regular basis to say thank you
right.
for all the legwork and everything that you did and put forth at that point in time. Because, I mean, When you were open then, when was that? We're looking at late
90s? No, it was 03.
03, okay. Yeah. That's the same year that Yazoo started, so yeah.
Yeah, it was about the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but just the, you know, time frame of where the culinary world in Nashville was in 2003 and now, because mostly at that time, all you had was a lot of the old school staples. Was Wild Boar still...
Wild Boar was still kicking.
Open? Yeah.
Well, it was one-legged kicking, but it was kicking, and it was, man, that was a great spot.
Really?
You know, we had...
I never went there, man.
Did. Yeah. I got to go there once, and it was, funny, you know, the best Wild Boar story. So, you know my old bartender, AD?
Yes.
So it's funny you bring this up, because AD is, after all the years he spent in Nashville, and he was at Taste the entire time, is moving back to California tomorrow. So Nashville's losing, you know, one of the greatest bartenders they had in the city. And, I replied to him this morning when he was kind of being sentimental on social media. I was like, you know, you just got to remember that you're part of Nashville's food history, and you were pouring funky stuff and brought things to town before Patterson House and Musk and all these fancy places. You were doing it at the Bar of Taste long before anybody was doing that stuff.
Where was he working now?
Now he's not working anywhere. He's been in California. Like he's been at the Yellow Porch the last couple of years, just kind of waiting tables and actually teaching kung fu on the side.
No way.
Talented.
Is he really?
That's right. So I never had to worry about somebody getting too drunk at the bar
because
AD will take him out.
Yeah, no, you should have. Okay, he should have an extra paycheck.
That's right. Bouncer / bartender / GM.
I'll cut you off. Seriously, I'll cut you off by myself.
Literally, I will.
I have a sword.
I'll kill you with your own
glass. Just pry the drink out of someone's hand. Let it go.
Let it go.
Just mid-drink. I just decided he didn't need any more.
So AD was at the Boar. He went, and in about 3 days, he didn't work at Taste, and he went and worked at the Wild Boar as a server. And I don't remember the old manager's name, but they had this, you know, classic old-school French manager in front of the house. And they had cloche service, which is the fancy dome that would come on your plate. So everybody would be served at once. Yeah, cloche. Yeah. And all the servers go in and they all remove it at the same time. Well, AD's sense of humor is legendary. He could tell sex jokes to nuns and they'd laugh. And he pulls the thing off and he's just like, ta-da! And, you know, walks off like nothing happened. And the French guy goes over, he's like, we don't ta-da.
Awesome.
That's a classic.
That's really story. Good. There's certain things that you've always associated with. You always associated with certain, like, especially like commercials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those domes are what I always associate with either the Fancy Feast commercial or the one that, like, Golden Corral is trying to show how big their portions are and stuff. You're like, do you want to eat at a restaurant like this? And they'll pull it off and there's like two carrots, you know, like, one speckle of meat. And they're like, or like this. And it's like chocolate fountain. And
it's like, do you really need that for the one bottle of Grey Poupon?
Yeah. And a half a shriveled up, overdone cow.
That white gloved hand that comes in. Some guy's like, that's my hand, dude.
Always makes me think of Seinfeld. It always makes me think of George and the like hand model.
You wouldn't believe. Dude, I had to go back 3 callbacks just to get that role. It was crazy. I tried like a beige glove, and then we went with a black glove, and they're like, white glove. Yeah, white glove for this Fancy Feast commercial. Do you know how to hit the little ding, ding, ding thing also? It's also the same way with chili. Chili, single-handedly, the chili industry should have a lawsuit against Rolaids, because Rolaids is single-handedly cut the chili consumption in half from the cop or the fireman that's always holding his chest, you know?
Yeah. I think Rolaids missed the boat about having their own chili with Rolaids already in it.
There you go. That's probably not really up my alley, but I could totally see that.
Yeah, just crush it up, like, and put it in with the meat.
A side pack where you just get it, you know, you get it over time. Like the old school Pez dispensers where you get a little extra
shot. Oh, yeah.
Just instead of oyster crackers, just throw some handful Rolaids in there.
Yeah, Alka-Seltzer.
You can make Rolaid crackers for sure.
Oh, that's great. Pull that off. I'm about to Pinterest that. Somebody heartburn from eating chili? Here's some Rolaid crackers. Just like a dough, just like a Rolaid stuck in the center of it. You know,
or crushed up in there. You have to crush it and mix it with the flour.
Like they do with the Hershey's Kiss, you know, the chocolates.
Just get a spoon and some. Just take a picture of you crushing up some Prilosec.
Be careful how fine you make that powder. Just saying,
Cut it.
I noticed you got your Cisco Brewing hat on.
You're
from the Northeast, correct?
Yeah, I grew up on Nantucket, spent every summer in Nantucket, went to school in upstate New York. But
what's it like growing up in a place where everybody else, it's like Nashville, we live in a place where everybody else saves up all year long to come and spend time.
Right.
So what's it like in like Nantucket?
You know, I mean, it's awesome. It's my Oasis where I go, I hit it every year. If I don't go back, then I just wouldn't come around me for a year.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty ugly. And, I'm fortunate because it gets, you know, it's an island of 10,000 in the winter and 150,000 in the summertime.
Wow.
And the town is particular, can be so crowded.
Yeah.
You know, going to restaurants, whatever, totally obnoxious. Like trying to get in the brewery at 4 o'clock, forget it.
Yeah.
And it's
not happening.
1,000 people standing in, you know, under some tents if it's raining, and it doesn't matter, rain, shine, it's packed. It's awesome. And it's, you know, really good beer on top of it.
Yeah.
We live right around the corner, all dirt roads, right off the surfing beach. And it's like I surf, I hit the fish market right there, the farm's right there, and the brewery's right there. So I never actually have to go anywhere else on the island.
Yeah, just bike it.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah, bike or, you know, top down in the Jeep and dirt road the whole thing.
Yeah. Only thing I really know about Nantucket is about the airport.
Yeah. The show Wings.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You lost me. I watched that show and I never realized that it was in Nantucket.
Yeah,
that's what this sounds
yeah. Like. Yeah, there's a really good mechanic named Lowell.
Yeah. Lowell has popped up in a lot of other really good stuff. He's in that movie Sideways.
I love Sideways. Yeah, Sideways is terrific.
I wish that movie was awesome, man. I love just the whole dry part of it. And like, how'd you think it was going to end? That's life, man.
Yeah.
Sorry. What do you think? He was going to start his own cake company or something? Like, no, that's just the way it works.
Is that Lucy Liu that like beat the hell out of him with the motorcycle helmet?
It was just a precursor to her, whatever the movie she was with all the girls, right?
Yeah, was it Charlie's Angels?
Charlie's Angels,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think Charlie's Angels was before that.
No.
No, it was post-Sideways.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, wow. she was like...
I'm so glad I don't know the answer to that. I'll be honest, just, I get to pick and choose my information in life that I want to retain. I'm glad I don't know that one.
One of the funniest stories Jessica likes to tell about me is I'm sitting there talking to somebody about Abu Dhabi or something like that, and I was like, yeah, that's where they filmed Sex and the City too. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Was that my outside voice?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was about to say, did you actually think they filmed it there? You know, I mean, how much money did somebody from Abu Dhabi actually have to pay for the whole movie? And like, all right, this is the only stipulation. You're going to have to come here and film some of it. Like, where?
That's a good stipulation.
Yeah, if you had four women that are like, could go anywhere in the world for money and they're, you know, I'm like, oh, we're going to go to Abu Dhabi. Really? This really oppressed female culture, you know, in the Middle East? Great idea. Let's do that. You know?
Let me cover it up. I never actually saw either one, so.
I'm good. I can't think of any situation or what any reward could possibly be in life that would require me to sit through that movie that I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. I got 2.5 hours. I'll do
marriage.
It.
Marriage. Marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Half of everything. So how's the transition been from like full service and everything at Taste to what you're doing at Sloco, and as far as behind the scenes prep and all the process of, you know, because you've done what I love about Sloco is, you know, you rotate through a good bit of specials, but also you have a really good menu that's not like Cheesecake Factory, 47 pages of things you're trying to disseminate. So, I mean,
you see a menu that big, you just run now. Because there's no way you can pull it off with real food.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's totally different where, you know, fine dining, 20 years of fine dining, 10 owning my own place, and you're there nonstop 24/7. And then we closed down Taste, rolled into Sloco, which had already been open for about a year. And, you know, I've got young kids that aren't professional cooks or chefs, but are coming in and are just excited to learn about what we're doing because the next generation is into real food and they're into knowing where it comes from and how we're going to make it work and the fact that we charge $8 for sandwiches.
Yeah.
And serve what we serve, and they get to learn how to break down hogs and pull apart chickens. And I teach, you know, my baker right now is just turned 20 and she's been working with
really?
For about a year. Yeah. And I taught her how to make bread, and it's,
she you know, really into it? I'm
yeah, she's totally into it. She's like, I want to learn more stuff, you know? And
yeah.
That's what I tend to get down there. So it allows me to, well, up until the near future here, be home at night and be able to take off on the weekends and go travel. So that first year after Taste closed, I mean, I wasn't but in the store a couple of days a week, just checking in. You know, now in the last year or so, I've been in there a lot more. We've been working on expansion and really doing what the concept was meant to do, which is, you know, fix the food system based on expansion. So, you know, as we add locations, we can re-regionalize the supply system and the distribution system to make it work for more small restaurants mm-hmm. or even chain restaurants so they can afford the food that needs to be served.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something yesterday, or day before yesterday, I ran into Chris and James from Porter Road Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
And they just got through buying a processing plant up in Kentucky.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and he would just tell me the transition because it's in, God, I'm trying to think of the small town. It's a really small town. It's pretty much, you know, it's there, the butcher plant and their facility and maybe a handful of other businesses, but it's really a small town in Kentucky. So it's different of, you know, they're processing and they're going to do it so they can get more into the wholesale side of the business.
Right.
And, you know, the way that they process everything. And it's really interesting dynamic. And I think it's a part that really keeps you grounded too with, I would imagine with you guys dealing with farmers and stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like a farmer in Pulaski. Guess how much he doesn't care about the, I'm using air quotations, the hip food scene in right. Nashville. It's yeah. like, all right, how much are you paying me per pound?
Yeah.
All right, well, how much of this can we, how much can we go through? What are we looking like? You know, and it's like,
where's my check?
Yeah, and that's what I tell people about selling craft beer in the South.
Yeah.
And you know, I hear all these different craft beer people from like San Diego and Colorado and stuff go like, tell you what we do. And we, I'm like, dude, come to a Buffalo Wild Wings in Mississippi on a Thursday and try to sell craft beer with me. If you really want a splash of water in the face of like, this is where it's happening. And, you know, like with, you know, what you've done with your place, you know, what you've done with the food scene and everything is to, like you said, create that supply chain and everything and find it. Because it's not easy. It's easy just to punch in an order on a Cisco truck and get it delivered.
Well, yeah. You know, you look at the last month and two ice storms and that first one that shut the city down for a week. And by the end of the weekend, it was like, we don't have any food. Why not? I'm like, because I don't call Cisco and they don't drive up with food from Florida. It's like all my food's covered in snow.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to go harvest when you can't see what you're harvesting.
Yeah. There's
3 inches of snow on top of it.
Yeah.
And they're not in the city. They're north or south where, you know, they get a foot of snow.
Yeah.
And we got 4 inches. And it's just, you know,
debilitating. But it's just as crippling around here.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's.
Yeah. So it's, you know, those are the times where building a, you know, rebuilding a supply chain is really going to be important. And, you know, you see things like what's going on at the farmer's market downtown and the direction they're trying to take that, where they're going to have local guys 12 months a year and you're going to have a supply down there where in a situation like that, you have a spot you can go load up on root vegetables
and
things that have been harvested.
Yeah, and I mean, I always try to pride myself on if I don't understand it to read the other side of it. And I may not agree with somebody, but also I can understand the thought process behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with the transition they're making at the farmer's market right now. You know, sorry, I mean, Tasha was brought in. You know, it was not profitable. It wasn't, I mean, that's what that her responsibility is. And she's made a few decisions that, you know, haven't been popular or anything. But it's like, you know, the direction it was going before, you know, that's why you paid somebody to come in and handle this. And
right.
I think, you know, short term, it sucks, you know, for some of those folks that have been there a while. But long term, it's like, this is something that Nashville is viable and can sustain right now,
right.
you know, is to have all the, what they've done is, and there's really no middle people anymore. Used to, there were sellers there that would pretty much well buy produce on the wholesale market and some from local farmers.
Yeah, they served a good purpose for a long time.
Yeah, and it's just that now they're trying to make it where everyone that is selling there is directly off the farm, so farmers can have all that. So, I mean, I think, especially as many different farms we have within a short drive, either from Nashville or that are physically still in Nashville.
Right.
You know, I was mentioned earlier on the show that I just had an offer on a house accepted out in Bell's Bend.
Oh, nice.
And the toughest part about the whole process has been is there's no comps of any other house prices out there because no one else is moving to Bell's Bend. Or no one. My criteria is a little bit weird. I want a house less than 1,500 square feet on a minimum of 5 acres. So there's not a lot of people in Nashville wanting to step out and do that. But just because of all the farms and stuff out there, it's just like, you know, guy A has 75 acres he's wanting to sell.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the neighbor going, hey, I'm thinking about selling this. He goes, cool, we'll buy from you. Because everybody out there just continues to grow, you know, what they already have as far as like their farm and like their
right.
friends are like, hey, man, we'd love to get on, you know, that 60 acres next to you. What do you want to do with that? You're like, yeah, we'd love to do this with a farm. And it's what I love is the farm that actually grows hops for us. Is right across the street from this house that hopefully
awesome.
Everything will go through.
Exactly where it is.
Yeah, as soon as you turn the corner there, I mean, it's that third house on the left. It's
yep.
a house built in the 40s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was walking around the house. It's only 1,000 square feet. It's been the same
family. That's all
you need, man. I know. It's, if you walk in for me, I'm such a minimalist. You know, I walked in and I'm walking around the house and I get to the bathroom and I'm like, and the bathroom is huge. It's got like for a 1,000 square foot house, the bathroom's huge, and it's got a washer and dryer in there, and like the sink, toilet, and the shower. And I'm like, why did they build the bathroom? Oh, when this house was built, it didn't have indoor plumbing. So this was another room.
Yeah, it was a bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what they added on to it. And I was like, oh yeah, can you? It's a little bit of.
And
a
then they had to run pipe all over the house. They just had to run it to like to that area.
Yeah, it was like what was the easiest spot, the path of least resistance, because it was like my family in Arkansas. They're like, we could put it on the other side of the house. Ah, oh, it's gonna be an extra $75 in pipe, man. Let's just put it on this side.
Let's put it right. Yeah, that's right.
We're gonna have to grind out half of the house.
And if you're gonna have one big room in the house, honestly, that's not a bad one.
No, yeah, sure, not at all. That in the kitchen.
Yeah. I'm going to put a picnic table just in the middle of the bathroom just when people go in there like, what's it? I'm like, I just had this space I had to fill, man. I didn't know what to do with this picnic table.
I mean, what kind of pop-up dinner would that be? Yeah.
I got to go, well, right there. Yeah. Here we go out.
Not you could, really you, getting up.
You could really experiment.
I mean, I've cooked at some weird places, but that one I might have to draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you see all the places that have the bar stool, or the bar stools are all saddles. I've seen those before. Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever done one with toilets? You know, just a toilet.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not done building out the bar.
I'm just saying, man.
I've always thought about that from a car.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's comfortable and people can relate, Jeremy. That's all I'm saying.
If you go with the old school cushion bones, that's
the worst. Those are the worst.
Like, it's a little bit sticky in the service side.
Every time you get up, it's like, ka-dum, it sticks to your butt.
It pulls the front up.
Yeah, then I'm the self-conscious one, like, oh, God, now they know I was sitting down. This is a
I've been in here for 26 minutes, but God, I really, really know now.
Is there anything worse than a bathroom that has one of those and carpet?
Yes. I don't understand the carpet
also
in the bathroom.
I had both in my grandmother's house.
Did you really?
Shag carpet.
No, that's the worst.
It was shag carpet in a cushiony seat.
That's the worst.
You better just have impeccable aim with that carpet. Then you get out of the shower, dude, and it's just wet. That's just funky.
Yeah. I'm wondering if anybody ever tried to pitch the carpet in a kitchen idea also.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it'll clean up. Yeah.
I've seen commercial kitchens with, like, the super thin carpet in there.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Oh,
they
like
just vacuum
turf?
It up at the end of the day.
Oh, that's smart, man. I thought about that. I guess you just can't hose it down like you can a normal kitchen floor or whatever.
But it's
not as slippery, though.
Those are the super, you know, the super fancy places.
Yeah.
It's like you don't make messes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you cook without making a mess?
Yeah. It's this weird thing now, too. And it's the rise of the hipster mentality is to have the restaurant that normally would just be a nice, really pristine, clean, clear place, and then now it's just like, all right, we're gonna make it look a little rustic. And like you build, like I said, it takes a lot of money to look that poor.
That's right, exactly. We're gonna purposely make it look lived in.
Yeah, and all the staff and everybody looks like they just haggard, but now they're just like 21-year-old hipsters. That you know, I was reading an article once, and it was talking about how expensive it is to be a hipster, like buying all the old glasses and stuff.
We had this conversation that the hipster is. Hipster is not a look, it's a mindset. And that you gotta be well off to be a hipster.
Because
we were talking about what beer to bring in to the meat room, and it's like, well, you know, we don't want to bring in any hipster beer because it might bring them in here. It's like, how do we set it up so we don't have a bar full of hipsters?
Oh, the worst, man, is
all rice lagers.
Yeah,
all rice lagers.
Yeah. The worst is when there's been two or three restaurants in Nashville, and I this is when I know I was getting old, and when I'm like, God. That's got to be a record for the shortest time a new place jumped a shark. And I was explaining to somebody while we were at said restaurant, they're like, what's jumped a shark mean? I'm like, one, you don't know what that means, and two, you don't even, that joke just like failed. I missed awfully, you know, but it's one of those ones that now where you have places like, they've been open for like a month, and you're like, oh God, there's way too many polo shirts in this room, man. I can't deal with this. I'll tell you what, a prime example, Santa's Pub. Yeah. I mean, I went there once or twice, and then I went back a month later, and it was all frat guys in polos, and I was like, yeah, you really got to want it to go to a double-wide trailer on the ground with airbrushed Santa on the side of it, you know, by the fairgrounds to be in the hip, cool area, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Springwater's a lot closer to Vanderbilt, man. You just go right there.
Yeah.
I went to Vanderbilt, and I don't think we hit Springwater once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might not have been. I think it was, though. It was early 90s.
Oh, it's been open a while.
It's been out there for a minute. That and, like, Hog Heaven right next to it.
Yeah. Yeah, we never hit that. I mean, back then, Vanderbilt, we just stayed on. We hit Elliston, and that was
fun. Oh, yeah.
Sneaking to exit in and
get
hammered on 2-for-1s, whatever they had. Tuesday night, they had something on Tuesday night.
Yeah, somebody over there had 3-for-1s one time. I can't remember. I think it was when Piranhas tried to put in a restaurant over there. You know, which I just saw the other day, they're closed downtown.
Are they?
Yeah, their clubs are moving to where Jazz and Jokes used to be. I hope they can make it.
Church and
Third. Yeah, from Demas's.
Church and Third or Church and Fourth.
Yeah, where all the...
I mean, we're seeing move... That's where, like, our third one would be 5th and Union if we ever sign the lease, which I'm sure we will at some point, but... And everything's moving over that way.
Yeah, I hate to do that. I don't know how you do it,
You got the hotel coming in on printers, too. Mm-hmm. Right over there. They're moving Lonnie's on to church. He's going to stay open.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think he's moving into my dad's old bar.
Oh, the one... That, what's the name of it?
It was Cowboys Cool. Oh, like the last one.
Spelled with K's.
Yeah. I mean, when my dad owned it, it was Lefty's Western Connection when he started it.
Bit of a wordy name for a smoky country.
Like, out of all the three owners, they were all left-handed.
Oh.
Yeah, they're carpenters, dude. They're not poets.
That works though, man. Yeah. You know, it's bars like that that stick.
Yeah, but no, days, that Lefty thing.
It gets shortened down. It's just Lefties. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just left. It's the only thing left here. Right. You know, I've never actually ever been into that place. Oh, it's like Cowboy Cool now.
That's why it's closed.
Yeah. That's the interview process. Pick up this pen.
That's right.
No, right hand. Sorry.
Can you fill that out?
Yeah.
Here, catch.
I met my biological father for the first time when I was 26 or 28, and then I met his family, and it's him, and he's got two brothers and his dad, and I met all them for the first time. We sat down to a meal together, and all the men at the table, including myself, were all left-handed, and all the women were right-handed. It was like everybody there had known it's eating around each other enough that everybody just took their place, you know, because they took the left and right-handed people, and I was like, oh, this fits out really good. It's like odd even.
And no girls on the left. It's just like elbow fighting the whole time.
It's automatic.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, man, it's an interesting thing with, like, downtown, too. It's the worst whenever I hear... And listen, to each his own, and I even know there's people that go to Golden Corral. It's not my bag. But when you have people that come in, you know, like, we come here on a regular basis. You know, Nashville, once a year, we just come here. We probably eat 2 or 3 meals out at Demas's downtown. Yeah. Their steaks are affordable. It's probably something unless I'm not going to break it to you, but it's actually in there. Yeah.
Never been there.
Yeah, what all is in there, so... Well, sweet. We're going to take a quick break. I think the Nashville Recovery folks just showed up, so we're going to get settled in for
That's
that.
Awesome.
And you want to stick
around? Let me know how it works, man.
No, man. What could possibly go wrong? So,
depends on what she's pumping in there.
Probably looks going to just like Red Bull. That's what it is. So, the meat room, when's all that getting open and running?
The meat room is that we got our beer permits Thursday. So we actually started selling beer at Sloco.
Yeah.
It looks good, man. You know, me and a buddy have built out the whole thing. So
really?
We've done a lot with two people, and it's pretty much in place. A couple big projects left, but we're looking at April 1st
as
a kind of grand opening, and I really wanted to put it out there. That was a grand opening to put a sign on the door that said, April Fools is tomorrow.
I want to announce this.
I might piss too many people off.
Yeah. Well, mine is what I want to do is I want to get signs printed out that just say Starbucks coming soon with the Starbucks logo and just go down to every vacant business on Gallatin Road and put them up for April Fools. See how long it takes to hit the listserv. Everybody loses their mind. You know, just like that old standby, like new restaurant. This cookout just opened. I don't know, man. It said Starbucks coming soon right next door.
You can put it on the existing businesses. Yeah. Hit all the coffee shops in town where there seem to be Starbucks. Like, don't do the paper. Like, get
yard
signs.
Yeah.
Stick in.
Yeah, like the election
signs. You
can produce
about 20 of those for nothing and
go
hit every coffee house in town with a Starbucks.
Just right up front. Just do it in the middle of their morning shift, not when they get
there.
They're
too busy to actually realize what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe just adjust one of the letters in Starbucks.
Wear a suit so you look official.
Oh, yeah. So that, and it's like, oh, what if that's a mayoral sign? Nope. Yeah. Neighborhood's changing, folks. Neighborhood's changing.
That's right.
When you think about it, we really don't have that many Starbucks in Nashville. Nothing like it north, man. You go to any of that, between the Dunkin' Donuts and the Starbucks, it's ridiculous. So, you know, that's the thing, especially when you go to Chicago and you're Boston, man. It's like a Dunkin' Donuts on every corner, man.
Yeah, there's actually, there's an article out last week on Dunkin' Donuts and that they use in their powdered sugar is titanium to make it whiten the sugar.
What?
Yeah, they put titanium in their powdered sugar. It's titanium something that's a chemical compound and it helps keep the sugar extra white on the donuts.
Oh, wow.
And then they did a study of how many Dunkin' Donuts were in a quarter square mile and a half square mile, and they were showing like a franchise thing at the same time. And
My goodness.
It was ridiculous. I mean, it was like 30 Dunkin' Donuts within a half mile circle in the city of Boston.
That's ridiculous.
So if you need your iron, go get some Dunkin' Donuts.
That's right. Or if you want to be Wolverine somehow.
There you go.
You are what you eat, right?
Well, like, that's not titanium in Wolverine. I don't know.
Some kind of metal something, right?
It's unobtainium. I'm just joking.
Adamantium. I think it's
there you go.
Yeah.
Collaboration.
Number 37 on the chart. Sorry.
It's not late with the other guy.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you coming out, man.
And, oh, yeah.
Drive around with the windows down if you're out there. So
already done.
Oh, really?
My car kind of permanently smells like dead pig.
Oh.
Jimmy Kirk's around, so.
Yeah, that's what you're telling people.
It's open the window. Well, just, you know.
What are you doing to the.
Don't mess up in the store.
What are you doing to the cops?
Too soon, man. Too soon. But great, we're going to take a break, and I think Amanda just showed up for Nashville Recovery, so we're going to get started in the next hour, so. Recovery Room Nashville, sorry. You Google either way, you're going to get to a Recovery Room Nashville, so we're going to get her in here. Thanks again, Jeremy, man.
All right, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a little bit of Honky Tonk Itis, and we'll be right back.
There's a sucker born each minute. I was born to suck a beer and raised to tell a lie and to believe in it. I could step in it so deep as I try to get to sleep in the bed I made and hope to get you in it. And I'll get 5 to 10 for lying, drinking and fooling round. No chance for remorse or change of plea. And I'll get 4 more drinking, and 1 more just for thinking that I'll get home safe tonight and still be free. Your name has got a dozen stars. On a scale of 1 to 10, you rate 19. I've only used this one about 1 million times before. In the deck of love, I'm king and you're my queen. And I'll get 5 to 10 for lying, drinking and fooling round. No chance for remorse or change of plea. And I'll get 4 more drinking, and 1 more just for thinking that I'll get home safe tonight and still be free. Would break your heart anyhow, and that heart's the only one I can count on anyhow. Drinking and fooling round. No chance for remorse or for reprieve. I'll get no time off for good behavior, and so I better savor this freedom, cause I'll get 5 more just for thinking this way. I'll get 5 more just for thinking this way. I spell divorce, P-A-P-S-D. So take the kids, better you than me. Just give them time, soon you'll drink like me.